Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much. To me, the three terms that I think should frame this issue of open government, the democracy, knowledge and power. Knowledge is power, is a truism, certainly, but knowledge is also empowerment. And I think there's a great opportunity in the open government initiative to have a more citizen-focused form of democracy. When we had talk, and indeed the minister warmly responded to the idea of co-production of services, which I think is a great idea, and I think Volunteer Now and the New Economics Foundation in London has done a lot of good work in terms of involving service users in the co-design and delivery of services. But I think that needs to then be a foundation to move on to the co-production of policy making. I mean, it's one of the things that we suffer from here in Northern Ireland, though it's no different than other jurisdictions, is consultation-itis. We have far too much consultation, which is about a passive form of engagement of stakeholder groups, not really citizens, it's the usual suspects, and too little of participation of citizens and stakeholders in the actual design of policy making. And I think an important aspect of this, the pity the minister isn't here, is statistics. And I'll give you a quote. She uses statistics like a drunk uses a lamppost, for support rather than illumination. And it is an issue that the simple provision of statistics by themselves often tell us nothing. And in fact, it's an important part of being a capable citizen in the 21st century that you understand when a minister or a media commentator says, well, we've increased, you know, revenue by 12% in real terms. You don't know what the base year is. And actually what they're telling you is it's declined. But you say it in an authoritative voice with maybe a professor in front of your name. And say, oh, God, that sounds very... And I think there is an issue about, it's not just the provision of information, it is about how we give citizens, stakeholders in civil society, the interpretive skills of how to make sense of the data that perhaps they are being provided with. And the one I'm particularly passionate about is economics. Economics is seen as some arcane expert form of technical knowledge. It does have those dimensions, but in broad terms, it ain't that difficult to understand. That's why I'm also a passionate supporter of participatory budgeting. I think a lot of the problems that citizens feel with the opacity, the lack of transparency, and misunderstanding about what council or government is doing could be assuaged, if not eliminated completely, opening the books. Now, of course, there are issues of confidentiality, and this is not about having everything open. But I do think if you explain to citizens, listen, it's like this. This is the revenue base we have. Here are our obligations in terms of the services we have to provide. We have this little bit of discretion. Now, what do you want us to do? How can you help us? So I think about engaging citizens in those difficult decisions, particularly in this time of austerity, can actually be an opportunity. And to me, I work with a very simple kind of binary view of issues in modern democracy. It is a power-money dynamic. Too often, picky groups, whether it's trade unions, whether it's civil society groups, it's all about money. What about power? Of course we need money to get things done, but too easy, this relationship between government and citizens are one of money provision, which means then that people feel often self-policed into not criticising the hand that feeds them. What about having an agenda about empowering citizens, but being upfront, this is not about money provision. It is about empowering you and involving you in the co-design, the co-production of a particular policy. And I think, particularly in a time of austerity, paradoxically, is the best time to do that in terms of including citizens in these difficult discussions. There are, though, some difficulties. We're starting from a fairly low base, and I speak now as an academic, is that of the veritable Amazonian rainforest that have been cut down to be pulped into books, to be written about this place here where we are, the one bit of the entire governance system that has avoided really critical scrutiny in academic terms is the civil service, which were the effective government at this place for 40 years. And there's a real issue. This is no criticism of existing civil servants or those perhaps in the room. There is a culture that's been built up over decades of secrecy, of lack of transparency, often for very good reasons. And that needs to be challenged. It needs to be encouraged in terms of the opening up of the civil service mentality, that actually citizens and civil society groups can solve problems for them, but only if we move beyond this passive tick-boxing consultation. I would also say that another difficulty is, and this is more to do with the political parties in Northern Ireland, it's very difficult for political parties to promote transparency when they won't even tell us who's funding them. Now, that is an issue. Now, you can't separate them out in terms of what government is doing in terms of transparency, but I do think it has to be full-spectrum transparency in terms of openness of all the major actors in our forms of governance. What about some ideas of the live blogging or tweeting of council committees? You know, beyond just simply inviting the public in to listen to public media, I have to say, as a councillor, there's a marked difference in the debate when the public are in the gallery and when they're not. There's a much more constructive debate. Yes, there's a bit of the puff, chest out, and you're looking at your constituents, look, I'm standing up for you, and so on. But there is something about involving citizens more in scrutinising what we as public elected representatives do. The last point I'd make, and this is more because we have John Woods here in the room, is the data that we're being provided with appropriate? I'm thinking here particularly of the orthodox economic GDP data. It doesn't tell us anything about the quality of life often or human flourishing in Northern Ireland, just as an example, because what gets measured gets done. And so I think as part of this process of open government, yes, we want government to release more data, more information, to include citizens more in how decisions and why decisions are made, but also there has to be a root and branch reform of actually what are we measuring? Is it appropriate for the 21st century in terms of many of the challenges that we face? So thank you.